Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning, everyone. So if you live in New York's 9th Congressional District, your congressman used to sound like this.
You vote in favor of something you believe it's the right thing. If you believe it's the wrong thing, you vote no. We are following a procedure. I will not yield to the gentleman, and the gentleman will observe regular order. The gentleman will observe regular order.
Now your congressman will sound like this.
I have proposed zero-based budgeting approach. And it's a business technique. You go look at responsibilities the government have, and you start with zero, and then you add in what has to be, and you eliminate everything that doesn't exist.
Maybe it wasn't President Obama or David Weprin that the voters rejected yesterday, but the idea of oratorical flair. Or maybe it was, as Politico puts it this morning, distracted labor unions and an anemic Democratic machine, sending Republican Bob Turner to the congressional seat previously held by Anthony Weiner and Chuck Schumer. Liz Benjamin is host of the Albany-based political show Capital Tonight on the YNN television network and writes their State of Politics blog. Hi, Liz. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. It's good to be here.
The result wasn't even really that close, 54 to 46.
No, I lost that bet, actually. I am ashamed to say. I thought that labor would actually be able to have some more clout in the last-minute GOTV. I had Weprin up by two, so I'm going to pay for that one.
GOTV, last-minute, get out the vote. And, you know, Politico wrote it up as the way I just said, that it was distracted labor unions that had something to do with it. Do you go with the word distracted?
I don't know. That wouldn't be the first word I chose, but I think what they mean there is that there were focuses elsewhere. So, yeah, I guess so. I mean, the Working Families Party, which, of course, is the lefty progressive labor-backed party in New York, did quite well in 2010 and in 2009 in New York City. Put everything into Jesus Gonzalez in the 54th Assembly District and didn't do so well. He would have been their first solely elected state legislator. It would have been a big deal for them, and it didn't go well. So they were there, and you know, I think that labor tried. I mean, they put in a GOTV effort, but it really wasn't what it might have been. Also, the Brooklyn portion of the district was distracted, and that would be Vito Lopez, because he was fighting that three-way race in the 54th AD, and he came out quite well with his candidate, Rafael Espinal, winning.
So can you tell just how much Ed Koch's endorsement of Turner to protest President Obama's Israel policy has made the difference?
Yeah, it's interesting. We had sort of an argument about that in the office yesterday. I said you couldn't give him too much credit. I mean, certainly he's taking a lot of credit, but he was very early, and that is significant, obviously. He was very loud, and that is significant. He polls very highly in terms of approval in New York 9, and that's significant, too. But if you look at the polls, there were two polls, Siena and PPP, and they both had Weprin down by six. And yet they were completely disparate when it comes to the issue of Israel. The Siena poll had Israel in terms of importance in voters' minds when making a decision about a candidate in the single digits. And PPP had it in the double digits. So I'm not really clear, and I think it's yet to play out. I think it's clear that to say conservative or Orthodox Jews are single-issue candidates, that they only vote on Israel or they only vote on gay marriage or they only vote on whatever else it might be, is probably not right.
Well, they had at least two issues. The Orthodox community did. That portion of the Orthodox conservative community that cares about Koch's stand on Israel and wants to oppose same-sex marriage. So they had at least two issues that might have motivated more people to the polls than might have otherwise gone in a special election. I don't know. While at the same time, labor and other liberals are feeling lackluster about President Obama, so not to mention lackluster about David Weprin, so they just weren't motivated.
Well, maybe. Also, you know, let's remember that there was no top of the ticket race to pull people. Although we are thinking that the early numbers show about 20% turnout, which is very high. I mean, Jerry Skernick, who I trust on these sort of things, predicted 10%, perhaps as low as 10%, and 20% is pretty high. Nevertheless, there was nothing at the top of the ticket to say to a voter, this is a referendum on Obama or on same-sex marriage or on Israel or on the economy or whatever, isn't necessarily a motivating factor for people who are not politically astute and not paying attention, right? And also, let's point out, 20% is still low. That's 70% of the electorate that doesn't turn out. That is a huge number of folks who are going to show up in the presidential election, and probably Jews are going to, quote, come home. I couldn't imagine that most of them will not, or many of them will not, when it comes time, if they show up at all in 2012.
Right. Jews in New York City, I think, vote 75-80% for the Democrat in the presidential elections almost always, right?
Right. And also remember, you know, the Orthodox community was strong for Rudy Giuliani. I also saw, you know, some, I think it was in the New York Post, where Ed Koch had made some statements that were against President Carter and then arguably primed the pump for Reagan, who carried New York twice. You know, you can spin it any way you want. Yeah. Certainly there's spin going all over the place today.
Yeah. Interesting comment along these lines on our website. Somebody wrote, it's all about the New York Democratic Party expelling the Orthodox Jewish community. Mm. The rhetoric used in the lead up to the gay marriage debate alienated the average Orthodox Jew from the party. Most Orthodox Jews do not care much about gay marriage, but don't like to be made to feel like bigots or haters because of their religion. Leaders of the New York Democratic Party were not sensitive enough going about it, so Tuesday was payback day, at least according to whoever wrote that on our website.
Interesting. I've heard a lot of really interesting theories. There was another theory that was on a website somewhere that it wasn't necessarily Weprin's yes vote. It was his attempt to, it was his passionate speech in favor of it, which I believe passionate for David Weprin, on the floor of the Assembly chamber.
That's a low bar.
I'm sorry. I don't want to be, you know, sort of joining the pile on of David Weprin as a lackluster candidate, et cetera. But particularly when you see him with his brother Mark, you know, you recognize that he really isn't a strong campaigner, and he doesn't have a strong personality in terms of the usual glad handing that politicians do.
Right. And I want to make sure we don't lose that point before we run out of time, you know, that however President Obama may have dragged down the ticket right now, whatever the Ed Koch factor or the Israel factor or the Anthony Weiner factor may have been in this race, David Weprin was a very weak candidate.
Yeah.
Here's 10 seconds
from our
interview. Well, by design, and we'll get to that. But just for people who didn't hear it, David Weprin campaigning on our show. Do you know the poverty rate in the district?
Probably higher than it should be.
Roughly?
I couldn't tell you offhand.
Typical of how that interview went in spots. Mm. Not that he didn't know the number. You know, it wasn't supposed to be a gotcha moment, but I don't know. And you know, not that Turner exceeds that bar himself all that much in terms of excitement, but he was picked for that reason, you said?
Well, Weprin was picked. They tried to thread the needle very finely, I think. They needed a guy who, I mean, they're denying that he agreed that he would go away quietly and they would redistrict New York 9 out of existence. But when you look at it, you know, look, Joe Crowley, who's the Queens Democratic chairman, who was largely responsible for picking David Weprin, stands to gain a lot if New York 9 is chopped up and he gets to lose that piece of the Bronx that he's always been nervous about because maybe a Hispanic candidate like, say, Hiram Montserrat would come around in primary. Him. You know, that can't be discounted. They also needed someone who was just strong enough to win, and they thought they had it with Weprin because on paper he looked great. Comes from a scion. He's a scion of a Queens Democratic family. He's the son of a former Assembly Speaker, Saul Weprin. He's very well known. He's lost, he's won a number of races. You know, he lost the New York City Comptroller's race in 09, but he won the Assembly seat that was held by his brother Mark, and he right. won in New York City Council. And he's an Orthodox Jew, and they thought that Orthodox Jews would like him. It just, you know, they didn't account for all sorts of things. You can't underestimate here that both of these candidates were gaffe-prone, and yet the Turner campaign, thanks to some people who were behind the scenes largely, managed to capitalize, and the Weprin campaign, thanks to people, or no thanks to people behind the scenes, were unable to capitalize.
And not just to write them off, not to just write them off as ho-hum orators, let's give the victor, Republican Bob Turner, his due. Here's 20 seconds of his victory speech last night.
I am telling you, I am the messenger. Heed us. This message will resound for a full year. It will resound into 2012. We only hope that our voices are heard and we can start putting things right again.
So, Liz, last thing, as we look to Turner actually serving in Congress, people forget that Ed Koch extracted from him two positions. Mm-hmm. And Koch tried to present it this way over and over again, although I think all the media usually references is his opposition to Obama on Israel. The other half of it was supposed to be for Turner to guarantee him that he is moderate enough a Republican on Medicare and Medicaid and entitlements, right?
Right. He says, actually, the former mayor says that he's got that in writing from Turner. And, you know, again, that's going to be difficult because you've got people like Rince Priebus and the leaders of the NRCC. You've got the Eric Cantors of the world, the John Boehners of the world, who are going to try and spin this like it's a referendum on Obama. But if they've got a guy who's going to vote against them when it comes to spending and entitlement programs, they got a problem. That said, he's probably not going to be around that terribly long.
Since this district is likely to be eliminated altogether, as New York State is losing two, and this one looks high on the agenda to be on that short list as a result of the 2010 census results. So Liz Benjamin, who writes the State of Politics blog for YNN and Capital Tonight, and hosts the nightly politics show on the Time Warner Network, YNN. Always informative. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian. It's great to be with you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we'll stay on the debate track and ask why the HPV vaccine has become an issue in the Republican debates. We'll play some clips about that. And PBS NewsHour anchor Jim Lehrer, no relation. His new book, Tension City, is about the history of presidential debates. We will play some great historical clips and talk to Jim Lehrer. Jim Lehrer will take your calls today. Rick, Mitt, and Newt, you can call in too and get some debating pointers. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.